Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed. Second to none. Stock up for the weekend with a lot of wrestling tonight. Six semifinalists so far for Penn State with Greg Kirkfleet on the verge of seven. And then tomorrow, the NCAA Wrestling Championships and the second round of the NCAA Basketball Tournament with Penn State taking on Texas. Stock up now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, mobile in West Des Moines, Iowa. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. While there are many positives to talk about on this particular day, we always have to start with the dark side. And a trip to the Bitterness Cafe. Ladies and gentlemen, time now for the Matt Cotrillo rant of the day.
Steve, we're changing the menu today because that was about as fun a game as you're ever going to watch last night. In particular, the amount of pride I have today in being a very small part of the Bucknell men's basketball program, seeing that performance by one Andrew Funk last night. Let me tell you, Steve, I have seen many tremendous performances in all facets of this game by Andrew Funk. But last night was the best I've ever seen it. And again, this is coming off an 0-for-5 performance in the Purdue game in the Big Ten final. 27 points, 8 threes, looking as comfortable, calm, cool, and collected, confident as ever. I mean, that was magnificent last night. I enjoyed every bit of that game from when it was, 9-5 onwards. That was an absolute clinic by Penn State. And you heard it from me first. I'll get reveal a little bit later when we do our brackets. Penn State is going to the Elite Eight. Book it. They will beat Texas tomorrow. They will beat Xavier and get to the Elite Eight. I'm with Andy Katz, who also has the same thing. This Penn State team is downright scary. They're hard to guard now that they're out of the phone booth of the Big Ten that we've called it all year. Get ready for a couple more fun games. And because Andrew Funk lit it up last night and made us all so proud.
Played a great game. To be honest with you, Jalen Pickett may have been the best player on the floor last night because he set it all up. The ability, and this, let's go back to what I talked about yesterday. What did I say yesterday about Andrew Funk and Purdue? He's, 1 of 14 in threes? I said, for whatever reason, it's a bad matchup for him. And that's just the way it is. Everybody else, he's had no problem with. Purdue's been the one team he's had a problem with, or maybe Penn State's had a problem with in terms of finding him. And I said yesterday going into the game, what did I say was going to be available for Penn State? Three-point shots. That when they want to protect the lane so much that Jalen Pickett could get it 8 to 12 feet from the bucket, and then he would have to make decisions as to who was open. And that's what he did. Now, Funk, when he made the 30-footer to get it rolling last night, okay. You're like, well, okay.
Yeah.
And that was some shot. Andrew was great last night. He really was. He was absolutely great. They got 2 of 2 from Miles Dredd. They got a couple of threes last night from Seth Lundy. Jalen Pickett knocked down a three, but Andrew knocked down, 8 last night? He had 27 points. He knocked down the 3 free throws when he got fouled. And he knocked down the 3 free throws It was, let's see. I'm trying to think who came down. Was it Hefner came down, hit a three to make it 18-15, which broke a drought for Texas A&M. And then Andrew got fouled. They went to a media timeout. He came down and went bang, 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 all three. And now it's 21-15. And then, I mean, Penn State never really looked back after that. I mean, it was the Penn State went on a 9-0 run starting with those free throws. And Andrew was tremendous last night. I mean, tremendous. Pickett controlled the flow of the game. And I'll give you an idea of how much in the flow Pickett was in the game last night. The initial play of the game was a dunk by Kebajai, right?
Correct.
So you're like, wow, what a great draw up that time. You know what the play was? The play was Pickett was to get to a point and kick it to the corner for Lundy for a three. Pickett came down, looked. They had Lundy covered, and he saw Jai slip, so he just got it to him. That's being in control of the game.
Absolutely. Right?
That's not the play that was called. Right? The play that was called was to get something to Lundy in the corner to start out, and it turned out Pickett came down and went, nah, I think this is a better option. They got Keba involved in the game right away. Keba had 8 points in the game. Keba had 8 points. Here we are in March, and we all know what kind of season he's had. He's had to do all this learning in practical time. He's had to try and learn against Trace Jackson Davis. He's had to try and learn against Zach Edey. He's had to try and learn against Hunter Dickinson. I mean, you go through the long list of guys, of quality big men in the Big Ten. He's had to learn against Julian Reese. Right? And then here he is now in March. He is playing his best basketball of the season. And it turned out that Pickett saw something. It got the ball to Keba. It got Keba involved in the game right away. Except for one play, Keba played tremendously all day. Even the illegal screen he was called for, which happened right in front of me. It was an illegal screen, no doubt. But he stuck his body in there like, all right, you know, it's like, okay, you know what? I can live with that. Because he's out there playing hard. And he's out there being physical. Texas A&M never had a handle on what Penn State was trying to do. And I think even to this day, on this particular afternoon, I don't think they know what they would change against Penn State. Because I don't think they have a handle on what they do. So this goes back to what we've talked about all season. We're going to get to Texas in a little bit here. All right. People have asked me over and over again when I thought Penn State could be an NCAA tournament team. When did I really start to think that? And I said the preseason. Right? And if you notice how Dick Girardi, Dick and I have broadcast the games all season long. We have broadcast the games all season long with the idea this was an NCAA tournament team. Right? All the way back in November, we talked about what they could be. They go down to Charleston. They beat Furman. And, of course, Furman won yesterday. They beat Virginia. They're like, all right. It's a kind of quality win against a non-conference team that we think is going to be a conference tournament champion in the NCAAs. Now, is it one of those, hey, wow, look, they beat St. Mary's? No. Right? But still, it was one of those wins where, like, okay, right? But it's a long season. All right, so let's discuss, when did you have any doubts? Sure. When they played Michigan State, and Michigan State won today over USC. But they didn't play well in that game, and they lost it. And Dick and I looked at each other, like, and I still to this minute, we think that Penn State's better than Michigan State. To this minute, we think that. And guess what? They didn't play well. I mean, we kind of felt like they lost that game. Like, geez. So now you go to Illinois, and you're like, all right, well, let's see how this plays out. And they went to Illinois, and they smacked them by double digits on their court. Now you're back to, like, you know what? Yeah, that's what we expected. That's the Penn State team we've been looking at. You know, they're the NCAA team. Now you got to go through and win, you know, the games after that that are, you know, Canisius and Quinnipiac and Delaware State. You know, you're supposed to win those, you know, those games. Okay, you bought them for a reason. Okay, and Then they played Iowa, and that's the one game I didn't do because I was in Los Angeles. And that was the day, in fact, of the pep rally, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I'm in my hotel room watching the game, but then Jack and I had to go over and speak at the pep rally. And so we're walking. I'm just kind of keeping track of my phone. Okay, boom, they got the lead. They're winning, winning, winning. Great. All right. Now I'm updating Pat Kraft. I'm telling Pat, hey, Pat, this is the deal, whatever. And Penn State wins the game. They kind of held off a late rally by Iowa, but they won. You're like, hey, that's it. They're right where we think they should be. So then I go from Pasadena to Ann Arbor, and they lost the game. They made a couple of comebacks, and they lost the game to Michigan, right? And then they lost the game to Purdue, and they had the lead at halftime. In the second half, they got smacked. And you're like, you know what? They got to win the next game. They just had an 0-2 week. They can't have 0-2 weeks. Cannot have 0-2 weeks. They needed to beat Indiana, and they smacked Indiana. I mean, they smacked them. And they went, you know, and then they went through the entire month of January after that of splitting the weeks. Okay? Well, then, okay, so I'm going through January. There's still no doubt, right? None. They're going to make the NCAA tournament, right? Well, then they hit the four-game winning streak. Or excuse me, my apologies, the four-game losing streak. And do I have doubts? You darn right I have doubts. I'm like, oh, man, they're 14-11, they're 5-9. I mean, you know, it's the morning of February 14th. You're like, okay. Now, the only encouraging part was Dick and I were walking to the car because we each drove down for the Maryland game. And we're walking out to the parking lot together, and we saw something. And we saw something in the Maryland game. Like, you know what? I think they recaptured something today. Even though they lost, we felt like they recaptured something. But now, starting in the morning of February 14th, they are now in have-to-win territory. They can't let another game slip out of their grasp. They beat Illinois by double digits. Wow. All right. So then they go from there. Now you got to go on the road. Right? So what can't you do? Well, you can't lose at Minnesota. You can't. Right? It's just, it would be, that's the kind of loss that's it, you're done. So they went. You go to Ohio State. Ohio State hadn't been playing well, but then this game goes back and forth. It's a terrific game to watch in terms of an entertaining game. It was an entertaining game. And Penn State won 75-71. Now they won three in a row. You're like, all right, now they're back within a game of 500. They won three in a row. Ohio State's a quad one win. Oh, and by the way, what does Ohio State start doing? They start winning down the stretch. That game for Ohio State against Penn State was very much like the Penn State game at Maryland. When you walked out there after a loss, it felt like you captured something. Ohio State, to their credit, did that, and they played terrific, you know, from that game forward. Right? Then there was the Rutgers, right? You know, wreck. You know, you're winning by 19, you got it, you're at home, the whole thing, you lose the game. You kind of walk that one. Now that's the other one. Like, oh, no, now they can't lose another game. Right? Whatever house money you're playing with, you can't, you know, it's all gone now. Okay? But then they went to Northwestern. Had a Rutgers hangover, down 17-7 with 7 minutes to go in the first half. The first half, 7 minutes to go. They got 7 points in the first 13 minutes. You're like, the defense allowed them to hang in. But then you look at the final 32 minutes of that game, because of the 32 minutes, because of the 5 minutes of overtime. Penn State scored 61 points over the next 32 minutes. All of a sudden, they're back in business. Win the game. Cam Winter hits the three in overtime. They win it. Maryland, they're down 16 at one point in the first half. They're down 15 with 12 to play. Charge all the way back. Seth tips the ball to Cam. He lays it in just about before the buzzer. Penn State wins that one. Then the third win over Illinois. Northwestern, that was a great game. And Northwestern played terrific. Right? Then Indiana, I mean, they really kind of smacked Indiana, even though the final score didn't sound that way. And then, of course, Purdue's a tough matchup, and then they win last night. this is every season. When you're talking about 36 games, has so many ups and downs during the course of it, and you have to be able to navigate all of it. And you look at football when you include the bowl game. There are always 13 evaluation weeks in football. In basketball, to this point, there have been 36 evaluations. And that's a lot of ups and downs to evaluate during the course of a year. But they were able to do it and play a great game. One of the reasons is, and it goes back to what we've talked about all season, and that is Penn State's style of play, the fact that nobody else is playing it. It is extremely difficult to get ready, especially either in a short turnaround or when the first time you see it. Iowa. Okay, so let's go first time. Okay, first time, of course, Michigan State sees it. They did win. All right, first time Illinois sees it, they lose it by double digits. First time Iowa sees it, they lose. The one play with Indiana, they lose. All right, I'm talking about the opposing team. The one play with Minnesota, loss. The one play with Ohio State, lost. Right? You know, over and over again, all these one plays, Penn State won when it was the only time they saw it all season. Northwestern, first down. They didn't play them until March 1st. First time they saw it, lost. Texas A&M, first time they saw it, lost. It's just not easy to prepare for when you don't see it, and it's not easy to prepare for when you have a short turnaround. And Penn State's execution was incredible last night, in part because Andrew Funk was incredible last night. Now Texas. We're going to talk about that. Nate Bowers on the show today. King's on the show today. And believe me, no matter how euphoric he claims to be, we all know that there are rants to be had. Aren't there?
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Today's a day of celebration.
I'm sorry. Celebration. The Bitterness Cafe is open 24 hours.
I'm sure something will come up.
I mean, I'm telling you, everybody knows. So everybody knows. You know what? Penn State might be able to win the national championship tonight. Do you know that? Do you realize that? Penn State could win in wrestling, could win the national championship tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Try and check and see. Kirk Fleet won, right? Yeah, Kirk Fleet won 4-0. They have 7 semifinalists. 7. They're 7-for-7 in the quarters. 7 semifinalists. Honest, I mean, they could win the national title tonight and then just wrestle for individual stuff tomorrow. They got a gigantic lead in this thing. All right, we'll come back more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Great service department that backs it all up with fabulous technicians who just flat out get it done. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Get in the car, go over. It's a nice day today. At least where you are, it's a nice day today. I guess it's rained a little bit, right? Here it's sunny, and it is windy, and it is cold. The wind chill is in the single digits after snowing last night. Doesn't matter, they won. But Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Why don't you go stock up now? Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend. You got seven Nittany Lions in the NCAA semifinals tonight. Penn State could clinch its 10th national title under Cale Sanderson and 11th overall tonight. They have such a big lead. But the seven are in. Max Dean is still alive, by the way, in consolations as the eighth. So, and then, of course, basketball tomorrow. National championships in wrestling tomorrow in Tulsa, but basketball tomorrow. Second round of the NCAA tournament with Texas. We now turn our attention back to the Bitterness Cafe. I worry about you.
I always appreciate the concern.
No. I know you say you're happy. We know you're not. And we know you're not. Go ahead. Let her fly. There's something that's really gnawing at you.
You know, actually, come to think of it, there was one thing I haven't been able to get off my chest yet from spring training.
Spring training?
Yes. It was something the Yankees did against the Cardinals.
I am going to try to conjure up some sort of, like, caring here. Go ahead.
Well, it was when the Yankees played the Cardinals, I guess this was sometime last week, maybe even the week before now.
Last week? It's still bothering you.
Yes.
Last week?
It is. Because, of course, everyone's at the point now of spring training where you're trying to navigate through the new rules and the things like that. One of them, of course, is the banning of the shift. So, of course, you have teams, the Yankees were one of them, who are trying to find a way again to find loopholes and manipulate the rule.
Right. So what they do? What they do? Move outfielders around?
So they moved third base and shortstop kind of like over towards second base a little bit. Then they brought the center fielder into shallow right, and then had second and first in their normal spots. So you basically had two outfielders, essentially, covering a whole lot of ground. And I have a huge problem with that, actually. There's a reason why baseball is trying to get rid of the shift, to make more action. Guess what? If you want to stop the guy, pitch to him.
Who did this?
The Yankees did this. I'm yelling at my own team for this.
Oh, you're yelling at your own team?
Yes. Okay. Now, I don't know if they actually worked or not, because I didn't watch the game. I just saw that they were experimenting and trying to do some things like that. I'll give you a hint. Just get the guy out. And this goes for anybody in Major League Baseball. This is an important season for the sport to make it more viable with all these new changes that are coming through. This is not the time, I mean, it's never the time, but especially this time, this year, it's not the time to be playing games with these new rules. Just get the guy out. Plain and simple. Just get the guy out. Leave everybody the way it's supposed to be. Because guess what? Maybe the guy hits one down the left field line. That's going to be an inside the park home run that could have easily probably been a single or maybe a double at worst. So how about we stop lollygagging around these new rules and just focus on getting the guy out? That'd be great.
Penn State has Texas coming up tomorrow in the NCAA tournament.
And, get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
And Penn State has 7 wrestlers into the NCAA. Yeah. Semifinals.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Honestly, I'm trying to ask myself, what was that all about? This was last week.
Correct, yes. I just never got the chance to bring this up because it's obviously been a busy time on the show, which is a good thing. But I have saved that. I have kept that in the back pocket, that particular rant. So I thought now would be the good time to bring it up.
Yeah, I feel a lot better now. Holy moly.
Oh, my almighty!
Wow, the Bitterness Cafe. This was last week.
Correct.
Look, if you're moving around players, that means now we're talking outfielders. And, I mean, that means there's wide open spaces in the outfield. Just hit it. That's how you beat it. Norm Roberts, by the way, was as I expected. I expected him to be at the press conference today for Kansas. Now, Kansas is not in Penn State's bracket. The first game between Kansas and Arkansas is a West regional game. The game between Penn State and Texas is a Midwest regional game. Because that's how the pod system works. So Penn State's in the same bracket as Houston, Xavier. Xavier was down to Kennesaw State, rallied, and finally won at the end today. And they advanced. That's actually the bracket Penn State's in. But because Kansas is here and they're a number one seed, you get a chance to see them tomorrow. But Bill Self was not at the press conference again today. The way today is working, this is how today works. Penn State's already watched film twice today. They went through personnel this morning. And did that. And that's what they did. Personnel, and then they went through concepts today. They have a longer day over at the arena today. They'll have press conferences. Let me see. What time's the team leaving here? We're on that select group here. The players are leaving. Okay. What is it right now? 3:45 Eastern, so 2:45. So the players left 15 minutes ago to go there. They're meeting. Oh, they're going to watch film first, then they're going to depart. So that's fine. They actually don't have their meeting with the TV network, and it's going to be CBS that has the game tomorrow night. But it's the same announcers. It's still going to be Brian and Jim with Ali LaForce. And they're going to meet with them at 4:30. Then select players, the locker room will be open at 4:55, while select players go to the media dais in the interview room, and that will be at 4:55 Eastern. Micah's on the dais in front of the media at 5:15, and then closed practice is on the arena floor at 5:45. This is all Eastern time, and they will get an hour and a half on the floor. And you're saying, well, what am I going to do? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the show right to the end till 5, and then I'm going to take a shuttle over. And I already arranged it with the front desk, take the shuttle. I'll have plenty of time to get there. I am allowed to be at the closed practice. The rules on the closed practice are players, coaching staff that travels all the time with the team, CBS personnel, or TBS, Turner, whomever it may be, but this time it will be, you know, the same personnel, just going to be doing CBS. Jason Benetti and Robbie Hummel from Westwood are allowed to be there, and Dick Girardi and I are allowed to be there. It's in the rules that the team's home broadcasters are allowed to be at the closed practice, but it is closed to everybody else. So they'll get 90 minutes on the floor. Since it's the second game and Penn State played the final game last night, they get to go last and on the practice floor, and they get 90 minutes out there. So that's how that works. And tomorrow they'll have shoot around as normal and then go over there and play the game. And it'll be 7:45, approximately 7:45 tomorrow, because Kansas and Arkansas will play first, and the start time will be dependent upon when that game is over with. Okay? So that's how it works. Texas is obviously really, really good. They're really, really good. There's no getting around it. You can't deny that. They've had a terrific year. They smacked Kansas in the Big 12 championship game. Watched them last night. They really kind of took Colgate apart. But they did it with threes, and the odd part was, who hit the threes last night? Okay? That's the odd part. Colgate's a really good three-point shooting team. You know, 51% shooting team overall for the season, right? I mean, Matt's done a great job with them. But last night, okay, Texas hit 13 threes last night. Colgate hit three. You're talking about 39-9 from the three-point line last night. Okay, teams that won yesterday in the NCAA tournament, and we've talked about the value of the shot. Right? We talked about the value of the shot. And in the value of the shot, teams that won in the NCAA tournament hit 38% of their threes last night. Teams that lost hit 27%. That's the value of the shot right there. That is the value of the shot. I mean, that's what it means. And so that's why you have, you know, we've talked about style the entire time. That's what the style means. Style means that. And That's what happened last night. That the teams that won were the ones that ended up hitting their threes consistently. And that's what Texas did. Serge Ibari Rice, who had started in the Big 12 tournament because Timmy Allen got hurt, came off the bench like he normally does, and he had 23 last night. He was great in that game. You know, he really... And he's long, he's athletic, great shot fakes when you watch him. And last night, Rice was 7 of 10 in threes, which is about what Andrew did last night, right? I mean, that's how he raised. He's a long transfer from New Mexico State, shot fakes, fabulous. He's a really good player. Marcus Carr, this will be the third different game I broadcast with Marcus Carr on the floor, a third different team. Third different team I broadcast with Marcus Carr on the floor. I did a game at the Barclays Center when he was at Pitt. I did all those games at Minnesota when he played there. Now I'm going to do a game with him in Texas. He is still the same player. He had 17. He shot well last night. He had not been shooting well down the stretch, but he shot well last night. Tyrese Hunter was the Big 12 Freshman of the Year last year at Iowa State. Over the time, he has developed a personal friendship with Marcus Carr. Marcus Carr did a lot of recruiting to get him to come to Texas. He did. Hunter's been slumping down the stretch as well, but he is a really good catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. Really good catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. Disu had a really good tournament in the Big 12 tournament. He's always been a good player. Not great, but he's always been a good player. He's long. Can block some shots. And last night he had 17 to 10 in the victory over Colgate. Really good. Timmy Allen, transfer, New Mexico State, among other stops in his lifetime and career, had been hurt, missed three games in the Big 12. He is a guy that Allen is a guy that is physical, not a bad passer. Finally got in the lineup. He put him back in the starting lineup last night. This Rice came off the bench and is a good, solid player. Hard nose. He dished off 5 assists last night from the post. And Dylan Mitchell is a tremendous athlete. Great athlete. You know, dunks, tip dunks, high flyer. Sometimes can drive to the bucket, but doesn't, you know, his game is so raw. He doesn't really have, quote, what you'd call at this stage, a game. Right, but he doesn't play a lot of minutes. Last night he only played 11, but he does start. Brock Cunningham can hit the three, did not even attempt one last night, but can hit the three and is one of those hard-nosed hustle guys. Christian Bishop is a good, solid big guy. Gave him 8 and 5 last night. Just like his game, he can post up, make some plays. Atterio Morris is a highly recruited guy, but he's been getting fewer minutes as time goes. They're a 9-man rotational team. So there you go. I hope that gives you at least a feel for Texas, which is obviously a really good team. Nate Bauer next half hour, King final half hour. I'm off to the arena next hour as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
3-pointers and 27 points. So you were checking your phone moments ago. What were your friends and family saying?
A lot of well wishes. I have a great support system. My family's here and friends back home, cousins, aunts, uncles, whatever. So it means the world to me that they get to experience this with me because they've supported me all the way through.
I'm sure you've been asked every single question already, but when you're feeling it, how do you know?
Man, you don't know until you hit 4 or 5, maybe when the sixth one goes in, you're like, all right. But when I hit that first one, those first couple in the first half, I'm definitely feeling good. I said earlier, that rim gets a little bigger for me. And credit to my teammates. I'm playing with the best point guard in the country, who's finding me every time. He's never making the right, always making the right read. So it means a lot, and it's fun to do this with this group.
Could you hear the fans chanting out there on the court?
A little bit, more so when I came off the court. When I was on there, I was pretty locked in. But the support that we received today was awesome.
You, sir, are my hero.
He was tremendous last night, Andrew Funk. the release, it's like the great quarterback where you look at the release and they snap it. I mean, you see Drew Aller, for example, has that kind of release. Andrew Funk has that kind of release as a shooter. I mean, it really is special. Gets up, good elevation, and just the snap of the wrist. The release is just fabulous, and Funk was tremendous last night. Pitt is winning 19-2 over Iowa State at the under 12 in the first half. Wow.
Yeah, I'm stunned by that.
Well, you know what? I'm not. When it comes to the first four teams, what happens with the first four is that they win that game, they're into the flow of the tournament, and like that doesn't ever surprise me when I see something like that. Remember, Pitt won its last game. Iowa State lost its last game. Right? So that does mean something along the way. And now I'm going to get to something that's very sad. Matthew Rice, who was part of that 2005 Big Ten football championship team, Orange Bowl championship team, passed away, cancer. Blue is a great artist, big heart, nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. Matt Rice, rest in peace. Such a wonderful, wonderful guy. God, I really liked him a lot. And he was so phenomenally talented. His art was just great. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm an art expert, but I could look at what he was doing and I could tell, man, that is great. So Matt Rice, you will be missed. All right, Nate Bauer next. We'll talk basketball with him. Maybe a little football as well. Football, no practice today. They practiced yesterday, so they've done two of them so far. They will practice tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the first time, by the way, they get to put on pads. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, here on News Radio 1070.